Good morning. Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. And thank you, Jeff. I really believe that God has a special reverence and care for those who lead his worship. And so we really, really do thank you, folks. We're going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, 18 through 20. We're going to be finishing the armor of God. The pastor's calling in the notes, he called it the ultimate spiritual weapon. That's going to be the title of our sermon today. And one of the things you really pressed me with today, and God presses me with, is he uses words that have four syllables or more. And that can be troublesome for me. So I just want to go through something. We're going to hit the word supplication in our verses, and I had to look it up. So supplication means the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. And that's from somewhere on the internet. We're also going to come up with other words like utterance. I think for us men, we know how to utter, so we got that one, you know. And perseverance, another four syllable. So we're up to it today. Let's get our heads on and stand and read from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you want to communicate with us. And we're going to reciprocate. We want to communicate back. So, the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your ministry of reading God's word. There's certain things in life that we read. And one of them is a bad toothache. And I was blessed with one of those this week. It started a week ago Friday. And it was one of those on-again, off-again situations, mostly off-again, for which I was grateful when it started out. And then it continued on-again, off-again, Saturday, last Sunday, Monday. And then Monday evening, it just decided to go completely on. And it was constant, and it was severe, and I fell asleep sometime after 3:30 a.m., and so I didn't get a lot of sleep Monday night into Tuesday morning, and of course, my wife was concerned, and so she starts praying for me, basically probably that I would pick up the phone finally, which I did. Enough was enough, right? And so I called Tuesday morning. Dentist said, the receptionist, we can have you at 1:30. I was very grateful. And then they called me back in an hour and said, something just opened up. We can make it at 11:30. And I said, that sounds 2 hours better. At that point, anything sooner was better. And in any event, Melinda is still praying. And I go to the dentist at 11:30 on Tuesday, and I'm blessed. We're blessed with a wonderful dentist. He diagnosed it correctly. He diagnosed it quickly. Back in 2011, he put a crown on one of my teeth, and underneath the crown, I was losing, the nerve was dying, and there was infection in there. And so the combination of the two was creating the pain. And so he says, have you ever been to Dr. So-and-so in Stowe? He was going to refer me out because it's a more delicate situation than just your average root canal. You got to go through the crown and so forth and so on. So he said, have you ever been to Dr. So-and-so in Stowe? I said, yes, you referred me a number of years back. I got lost when I went there. He says, well, let's not take you there again. How about somebody in North Canton? I said, well, that sounds wonderful. And so he gave me the name of a specialist in North Canton. Of course, my dear wife is still praying. I text her what was going on. And he said, you better call soon because she's about a week and a half out before you could get in. And so I called shortly. The receptionist answers the phone. She says, boy, you really timed that well. We have an 8 o'clock opening that just came open for Thursday morning. Otherwise, you're 2 weeks out. I said, Thursday morning sounds wonderful. And so I went in on Thursday morning, and look how I'm smiling today. And as I look back on it, well, you know, the Lord's gracious hand was on the whole thing, was it not? I went from 1:30 on Tuesday to 11:30 on Tuesday. I just happened to mention that I had been to that previous specialist up in Stowe. If I hadn't mentioned it, I wouldn't have gotten the doctor in North Canton. She just had one that opened up at 8:30 on Thursday instead of waiting for 2 weeks. And so I say, God greased the wheels to my recovery. And I think he used my wife's prayers. I don't think all those things are a coincidence. How can we utilize the ultimate spiritual weapon, which I believe is prayer, and what makes prayer the ultimate spiritual weapon? In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, we see how to use what I believe is the ultimate spiritual weapon, and that is prayer. And I invite you to open your Bibles for the last time to the book of Ephesians. Last time we will finish up today in that book before we begin next week in the book of 2 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 6. I believe what makes prayer the ultimate spiritual weapon, it's the one spiritual weapon that we have at our disposal that we can use to help other people fight their spiritual battles. As I experienced, and believe me, it was a battle this week. In verse 18, we have a bunch of short phrases, and each one of them is important because each one of them is an ingredient to this intercessory prayer in behalf of others. Let's look at the ingredients, five ingredients of intercessory prayer, all in verse 18. Praying always. Praying always. This tells us the frequency of prayer. We can pray all the time. Literally in the Greek, in every season. Praying in every season. Any season is open season for prayer. Any season is open season. We can pray at any time for any situation or anything. We hear about something going on in somebody's life. They're having a squabble with somebody in their family. They're being tempted by something. They've just lost their job. Boom, we can pray. Every situation, any time, all the time. And the scripture says, right, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We can pray all the time, anytime. Any situation can turn into prayer. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, without ceasing, I make mention of you, in my prayers night and day. I'm praying for you all the time, Timothy. In Daniel chapter 6, turn to Daniel 6. Daniel is in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. They are scheming against him, his jealous adversaries. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the decree to make prayer an outlaw, unless you pray to the king Darius, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open toward on his knees three times that day, and he prayed since early days. We pray three times a day. We're probably because we're breathing spiritual air consistently three times a day. And that's what Daniel would do. In fact, in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud. Three times, evening, morning, and at noon. Just like Daniel. And I find that that's basically how it works. Praying early helps for me. Start breathing spiritual air early and have a nice season of prayer in the morning. And then I find out by 10 o'clock, I'm not breathing spiritual air a whole lot. I'm not really connecting with God. So I find that even if I could take 30 seconds an hour each hour thereafter, it kind of keeps the connection going. And some of us have had jobs where we have to focus intently on something. Even if we just throw up a prayer, just to keep the connection going, so that when there's something that we really need to pray about, we'll be ready to pray. So regular times and any time. If we've got the regular time going, the any time will follow more likely. There's a story told about a gal, the Washington Post, 15-year-old girl, she used her cell phone to receive or send a text 6,473 times one month. 6,473. So they did a study, and the average teenager who has a cell phone texts or receives over 2,200 messages per month. And you get your calculator out, that's about over 73 times a day. So that's keeping a connection with other people. We need to text God. Right? Am I right? Isn't that a good illustration? If we have that same kind of connection with the Lord as many people do on their cell phones with texting, when it comes time to pray for something, we will be in the texting prayer mood. The frequency of prayer. So we go back to Ephesians chapter 6. The petitions of prayer. Again, we see it in the next phrase. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. Here we have general prayers and specific prayers. As Bruce alluded to, supplications, we are earnestly praying for something very specific. And we are coming to God and saying, please, God. And in this context, it's in behalf of others. Again, we have six pieces of the believer's armor. And I believe the crowning jewel and seventh piece is prayer. It's not to be disconnected from what's prior to it. And sometimes we pray generally for people, and sometimes we pray very specifically for people. And both kinds of prayers are important. Praying with all prayer, that's the general prayer. Supplication, that's the specific prayer. In Esther chapter 4, the Jewish people are in trouble. They're about to be exterminated because of Mordecai. And notice what is said in Esther chapter 4, verse 8. He also gave him a copy of the writing decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, so that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him to her people. And so her dear relation says to her, Mordecai says to her, hey, if you don't supplicate for us, Mordecai is going to get his way. You need to go before the king and supplicate and plead before him in behalf of your people, the Jewish people. It's a perfect picture of what we do for people when we pray for them. We are supplicating. We are praying specifically for them and the pickle they're in, the situation that they need. I know I go through, and I know a few others in our church family go through the picture directory. And day one on Monday, we pray for people on the first page. And then day two, we pray for people on the second page on Tuesday. And for those who are part of the church family who are not in the picture directory, I pray for them on Tuesday morning as I walk around the sanctuary here. So everybody gets covered. Now, most people, I know specific things to pray for. Most people. I don't know specific things for everybody. And for the people that I don't know, I pray in general terms. Lord, allow them to have a fruitful life. Allow them to pursue personal holiness. Help them, Father, to increase in their love for their spouse or for other brothers and sisters in Christ, etc., etc. Give them a hunger for your word. General prayers that are not specific to their situation, and I'm convinced that there's value in that too. And so we have different kinds of petitions. The general kind and the very specific kind based upon the needs of the person. And both have their place. We go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We look at the next phrase. This is just a phrase by phrase through Ephesians 6:18. Gives us the ingredients of prayer. Praying always, that's the frequency, with all prayer and supplication. Those are the different kinds of petitions. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. That is our power source for prayer, right? The power source of prayer. Praying in the Spirit isn't anything mysterious, really. It's having our prayers energized and guided and empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God guides us. He empowers us so that our prayers do more than just hit the ceiling and bounce back. It is Spirit empowered prayers that make a difference. Romans chapter 8, that glorious, is it not, a glorious chapter in the New Testament, perhaps the most glorious chapter in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses as we pray. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So even when we don't know what exactly to pray, the Spirit does, and he does for us. Now he who searches the hearts, that's God the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so the Spirit of God, he's always praying according to the will of God inside of us. And it really is wonderful if we can align ourselves up with him. Then we know we're on good praying ground, right? He's praying according to the will of the Father. And when we're aligned with the Spirit of God, so are we. And Jude 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Jude says in Jude 20. Again, reference to praying in the Spirit. Now, I know that takes a submissive heart. We really want to pray the way the Spirit of God inside us is praying, instead of just wanting to pray how we want to pray. Now, I know that I start each day, the beginning of my prayers, I am not praying in the Spirit. I know I'm not, but that's okay, because I know I'm not. I come downstairs, and I go on the couch, and I start having my devotional time with the Lord, and I start with prayer. And my body is downstairs on the couch praying, but my heart and my mind are still upstairs in the cozy bed. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way it is. And it takes a little bit of while for my heart to warm up, really, to the praying. Does anybody else have that problem? Or is everybody you're just right there? I'm not just right there. The longer I pray, the more my heart is into praying. And the more likely I'm to be aligned with the Spirit of God. That's certainly the way it works for me. John Bunyan, the fellow who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, this is what he said about prayer, and I quote, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than to have words without a heart. It is better to have heart without words than words without a heart." We need our hearts into what we are praying, and the Spirit of God can do that for us. And that's when our prayers are most effective, when we are submissively aligned to the Spirit of God as we pray. Do you ever have things that you just pop into your mind as you're praying? Who's doing the popping? It's not Mary Poppins, you know? Somebody else is doing the popping. I wasn't even thinking about that person. I'm praying about all these other things, and this other person, okay, Lord, I'll pray for him or her too. Oh, yeah, and I know what to pray for because I remember talking to them recently about that. So the power of prayer is praying in the Spirit. How about the passion of prayer? Well, this is important. Again, we're just going phrase by phrase, right? Praying always, that's a frequency, with all prayer and supplication. That's the kinds of petitions in the Spirit, that's the power. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. So we have two things that denote passion. Being watchful. Watchful has the idea of being alert. When we talk to people, keep our prayer antennas up. How's that sound? I picked up a couple of things to pray for before church this morning. Talk, listen, mostly listen. And there's things to pray for. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. The idea of the word vigilant is the idea of watchful or alert. When you're talking to people, keep your eyeballs open. Keep your ears sensitive. And you'll oftentimes get things that you can pray for them. Being alert. 1 Peter chapter 4. Wonderful, wonderful text. 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things, verse 7, is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He's not saying, okay, watch your prayers go up to heaven. They're going to go up. You can watch them go up. No. Be watchful as you interact with other people so you know how to pray. And so that's what he's saying. And that was a... part of being passionate. It's a wonderful thing. Go to him at midnight. Well, first of all, I wouldn't go to my friend at midnight, but okay, Lord, if you're the one telling the story, we'll go with it. You go to him at midnight and you say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come in to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within. They said, "Don't trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed," which is another problem. Never mind. "I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he has needs. And then the Lord says, seek, you shall find, ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and the door shall be opened. So he says, this is all about prayer. Yeah, it's interesting. It was though the person who goes to his friend and does the knocking there, it was as though he himself needed the bread because he was hungry. It wasn't for him. It was for his friend who was coming. Am I right? He didn't have anything to set out before his friend who was coming, so he went to the next door neighbor. He felt as though he was the one who needed the bread, but it was his friend who was visiting him who actually needed it. And so persistence comes when we feel for the one that we are praying. Our heart counts as we pray, does it not? And so there's the passion of prayer. And finally, the parameters of prayer for all the saints. All the saints can pray for little people, real little people. Can pray for people in their 90s, can pray for anybody in between, can pray for somebody who's working, can pray for somebody who's a stay-at-home mom, can pray for a multitude of situations. Everybody pretty much has something going on in their lives at all time that needs prayer. Anybody want to challenge that statement? Everybody probably pretty much at all times has something that can be prayed for. So that's the ingredients of intercessory prayer. And Paul closes by giving an illustration. He says, I have a prayer request. I have something I'd like. And it's really kind of a surprising prayer request to me. Watch Paul's prayer request. Illustration of intercessory prayer, verse 19. As for me, that utterance, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Knows the words better than you. Pray that. I really should have said that. Pray that God would give me the words at the right time to say when the person's in front of me. Pray that I'll have the right words at the right time instead of unnecessarily saying wrong words to the person. And then pray that I'll have the boldness to say it. He said, Paul, you're the boldest person I ever read about. Yeah, but you know, I still need boldness because sometimes I shrink back. Even me, Paul says. So pray that I will have, God would give me open doors to share the gospel, that he'll give me the boldness to open my mouth, and that he'll give me open hearts. Three opens. Open doors, open mouth, open hearts. Because I need that help. And Paul needs help in that domain. My guess is probably pretty much everybody needs help in that area, right? Give me the words to say and the boldness to say it. In Acts chapter 4, let's turn to Acts 4. So we get ready to wrap up here. Isn't it great when you have an outline? You know I'm getting ready to finish. You can go to Sunday school. You can go to breakfast or whatever you want to do. That's one of the beauties of an outline, isn't it? The guy's going to sit down soon. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now the Lord look on their threats. They're praying because the apostles had just been threatened. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. God answered their prayer, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This was after they had been threatened. God gave him the boldness to continue to speak. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a genuine disciple. But Barnabas came to the rescue. He took him and he brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how Paul had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and in going out. Sometimes people can be nasty. And nobody wanted to accept Paul because he had been so nasty. Not only didn't they want to share the gospel with him, they didn't even want to embrace him until Barnabas said, he's all right now. God has transformed his heart and his life. He's one of us. And so Paul says, sometimes it comes naturally to share spiritual things with people, but other times it can be hard because people are nasty. So please pray for me. I need open doors. I need open hearts, and I need the boldness to open my mouth. A great illustration, a great way to close the book of Ephesians, because we have the same need too, don't we? We have the same need. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate spiritual weapon, and we thank you for so many people in the church family who utilize it freely. It's one of those things, Lord, where we never arrive. We can always grow. We can always be more prayerful. We can always listen better. We can always persevere more. We can always try to get aligned with your Holy Spirit, who's praying according to your will inside us. And so, Lord, help us to grow in our prayer lives. Help us to see it as the ultimate spiritual weapon, where we can not only fight our spiritual battles and our temptations, but we can help others who are going through deep waters, whether it's a tooth, Lord God, that is just making life difficult, or whether it's a boss that's making life unbearable, or whether it's a neighbor with whom we're having a squabble, or whether it's a difficulty with our spouse, or whether it's one of our kids who's going awry. Father, the list goes on and on and on. So help us, Lord God, to help each other fight our battles with the ultimate spiritual weapon, the weapon of prayer. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.